Well, praise the Lord.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, well, praise the Lord. Again, welcome to Blog Talk Radio here on LiveDeliverance.com. My name is Pastor Steve, and I'll take the next hour or so, and we'll just share, get into the Word, and allow the Word to be stirred up in you to become more effective saints in your life. So if you would, just join your hearts with me in a word of prayer, and we'll get into the Word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your Word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your Spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this time, in this place, because of your Word, your Spirit, and your love. Live big in me now. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living Word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and our minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Help us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should now live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victories in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, tonight we want to deal with a subject that we opened up before, but I just want to kind of dig into this, and that's the Lord is the God of all, and he's looking for the all that he put in you. You know, there was a statement in my generation. Yes, I'm going to, date myself, but that's okay. And that was the one that said, no deposit, no return. God placed in you the things that you would need for life. And Jesus said, the kingdom is in you. But a lot of times we are facing things and we let go of the understanding that everything that we will ever need is on the inside of us. So then we have to learn how to live from the inside out and not so much from the outside. You know, the enemy uses the things that are circling around us, circumstances, to cause us to lose focus on the Lord. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to look unto Jesus because he is the author, developer, and finisher of our faith. So then I need to function from the finished work of Christ. And then if I understand the finished work of Christ, I will spend less time in fear trying to get God to do what's already been done. And I know that the pressures of the things circling around you make it look like you don't have enough room or latitude to be able to execute the things in the manner of time that you deem necessary. But it's some things I just like for you to know and just get into your spirit, have a great confidence in. The Philippians chapter 1 tells us that he who begun a good work, he will complete it. See, Jesus, whatever he starts, he finishes. I know that to be true because he's telling me that the one that endures to the end, that's the one that's going to be saved. Why would he ask you to make sure you get to the end of the thing if he didn't make sure of the end of the thing? I mean, you just kind of look at it. See, God is a just God. God is a God that is fair. He does not put stuff on you that cannot be executed by you. Okay? There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. See? He's not trying to get you to do something that can't be done by you. Just because you didn't see how does not mean it cannot be done by you. Okay? The Holy Ghost is the one that's going to, this is his job description. He's the one that leads you into the truth. Okay, I'm gonna stay there a minute. I see two other things that I can use to build on that. He's the one, the Holy Ghost, according to John 14, 26, 15, 26, and 16, 13. Okay, and Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That would be the places that you would basically find the job description of the Holy Spirit. Flat out, this is what Jesus said. And when he, the Spirit of truth, okay, so he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, when he's come, he will bring to your remembrance whatever I've said unto you. Why is that important? Because Jesus was tempted in all points, just like we were, yet he did not end up without the portion necessary, sin. He did not end up without the portion necessary to win. Okay? He was tempted in all points as we were, yet without sin. And we were not just talking about without bad actions. I'm talking about without the ability to win. Okay? The word sin there is defined as being without a portion. So Jesus lived his life in the supply of the Spirit. Okay? I just need for you to understand that. He lived his life. That's true, sir. He lived his life with the supply of the Spirit. Or it says it this way, that God gave Jesus the Spirit without measure. Okay? And you are a co-heir, joint heir with him. Therefore, you have been given what you need without measure. Okay? You're not an orphan trying to get a crumb. Okay? Please get it. These are scriptures that you know very well. The Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. Okay, come on, just go into that and see that. He makes you to lie down in green pastures. He's not asking you to lay down in barren pastures. See, when you follow God, the only place he's going to lead you in, let's just flip over there just so that you can see it. I just want you to see this as a reference. These things should not just be cute verses that you have memorized. These are verses that you should live by. When you're going through whatever you're facing, when you're dealing with things that you don't see answers, I want you to be reminded of how God is thinking about you. He's the God of all. He's the Lord of all. And he's looking for the all that he deposited in you. He needs for that to be put into effect. Okay? Because when you think this way and believe from this position, see, then it opens up what the Bible tells you should be in your heart. Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is aware that you didn't know how to do this, that, or the other. That's why he asks you, if you are heavy laden, if you have burdens, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn. We should stop complaining and go to the place where we can receive in the position of learning, a heart that's ready to receive even more. Okay? Because if you would go to the place where you can receive, he says that he will do this, what it says in Psalms 23, which is, like I say, scripture that we already know. We started learning this back in elementary school. We started learning this in the Sunday school. And yet, we don't utilize it effectively in the time when it's needed. Watch what he says. He says things that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And when he says this, he knows that you're going to have issues with your thinking. He knows you're going to have issues with your memory. That's why the Holy Ghost's job is to lead you into the truth, to bring to your remembrance what Jesus has said. We spend more time listening at what the enemy said, remembering what the enemy said, than we do remembering what Jesus has said. Come on now. The Holy Ghost's job, the reason he's here, is to bring to your remembrance whatever Jesus has said unto you. I love that because he didn't say that he's going to bring to your remembrance what the Holy Ghost said to me. He's going to bring to your remembrance what he said to you. Why is he going to bring that to your remembrance? Because God has already given you everything you need to win. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. You have the ability to win. Not only do you have the ability to win, I'll take you one step further, your victory is guaranteed. Glory to God. How about that for a truth? Because the book of Isaiah chapter 55 says that, verse 11 says, his word will not return to him void, but it will prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. It will accomplish that which he pleases. And it pleases the Father for you to win. That's why he gave you the victory. He always causes you to triumph. See? This is the way you have to begin to process your thought life so that your life that you live in the flesh will align itself with that which you have believed in your heart. See? Because if you believe in your heart and do not doubt what you say, you will be able to speak to the mountain, whatever it is in front of you, and you will see that mountain move. You will see obstacles plucked. That's what it said. You will say to this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up and be cast into the sea. And it would obey you. Glory to God. You get to see things in the spirit. You see things in the spirit realm. And then because you see things in the spirit realm, as a man thinketh in his heart, that's where you find the man. That's where the man lives. See, in that position, you can then reach things that you could not reach and accomplish in the natural. Because you are empowered by the spirit of the living God. Given a word that does not return void, but the word has the opportunity to prosper, to grow, to increase. See, that's what he wants to do in your life, every time, all of the time. I mean, when the devil shows up, you need to allow God to show out. I will say that again. Whenever the devil shows up, you need to allow God to show out. He says that's what he wants to do. Okay? In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, the eyes of the Lord are running over the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those that have a perfect heart towards him. He wants to show out. When the devil shows up, allow God to show out. The devil is asking you questions. Answer the question by saying, talk to my God. Come on, y'all. Just let me introduce you to my God. You want to mess with me? Well, in order to get to me, you're going to have to go through my God. Because I live under the premise that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into that place, and they are safe. You want to get to me? Well, I'm in a safe place. You got to go through God. So whenever the devil shows up, just let God show out. He's wanting to do that. Okay? That's how he knows that you trust him, because he can find you. Come on, y'all. It says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the people that are righteous, you can find them there. He knows you trust him because you're in the tower. We have no business, glory to God, we have no business out there trying to fight and beat the devil up. The Bible says if we would just resist the devil, he would flee. He didn't say fight him. If I just put the armor on, the devil does not know who's inside the armor. He doesn't know that it's you inside the armor, because that's the armor of the Lord. The last time the devil saw that armor, he got the snot beat out of him. He's not too happy about seeing that armor, but if you're not dressed in that armor, then he sees you. And he said, oh, you, I can whoop. You do remember what happened to the seven sons of Sceva. They tried to operate in the kingdom of God without having the connection to God, and they said this: I adjure you by this Jesus that Paul preaches. And the demons say, yeah, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. I don't want to mess with Jesus. I ain't too happy about even messing with Paul. But you, I don't know you. And the Bible says they beat him up and they handled him rough. And he left there wounded. You know, that's good. I hadn't thought about that. I'll just say it out. It says he left wounded. It did not say he left defeated. Glory to God. Because the devil is just running around as a lion. He's not a lion. He's just running around as a lion. The best he can do is cause injury. He cannot cause death. He comes to kill. It didn't say he came and killed. Okay? I just want you to get that. If you in your heart would begin to know that God is the Lord of all, and he's expecting the all that he gave you to become active, and he wants that activity in all situations. Okay? This is what we have to begin to do, because Jesus is not coming back until we look like him, until we act, respond like him. The devil comes checking the oil. Just say, good, if you want to get to me, you can. When you get through with God, you can come to me. If you can find a way to get past God, then come on to me. Because I'm in the tower. I'm not in a weak tower. He said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. See? So then, since I'm in that place of safety, Jesus said, come unto me. And if you do that, then you will find rest. I'm just trying to understand, beloved. He said, I would find rest. He didn't even tell me I would find a fight. He told me I would find rest. In fact, he said he would give me the rest. Come on now. In other words, if I stay in that place, rest is guaranteed, isn't it? If I leave, I want you to know that when you leave, you just tripped over your rest. In order to leave, he said you would find it. So then it's in an obvious place. Is that correct? If I will find it, it has to be in an obvious place. Then if I leave it, I have to trip over what I already found. Okay? So I'm trying to get you to see and understand that God has already done what is necessary for your victory, and then he gave it to you. He says, I'll make you to lie down in green pastures. I'll cause you to be led to the place where the waters are still. Just so that I can see the picture. My life is not supposed to be agitated. My path is supposed to be a green pastures and still waters. Okay, so that we can understand. You know what still waters represent? Still waters represent a place and a time of refreshing. Agitated waters reflect a time of storm. He wants me to take a drink. He says that I'm supposed to draw out of the wells of salvation with joy. I'm not supposed to be asking God in fear, worry, anxiety. I should be dealing from a position of rest. He makes me to lie down in green pastures beside still waters, and he knows that you're having issues with your thoughts, So that's why he says, if I can get you, come on, y'all, just follow the scripture. If I can get you to come to the place where you lie down, please hear it, please hear it. He said, lie down. I don't know of any battle, of any warrior that's going to enter into battle, and the first position of him in the battle is to lie down. See, that's why God made us more than conquerors. The fight is not man. The battle is not man. It's the Lord's. And when I have confidence in that, I can lie down. I can rest in that. See? He says, now, if I can get you to lie down and partake of waters that are still, when God walked with Adam, the Bible says he walked with Adam in the cool of the evening. Does that sound like an agitated time to you? To me, that sounds like it was peaceful. And in that place of rest and peace, God communicates with you. And he says, if you will let him take you to that place, leave you in that place, stay in that place, he says, now he in that place can restore your soul. It's probably going to be hard for you to experience any restoration in an agitated position. If you are irritated, even though God is speaking, you probably won't hear accurately. Even though God is doing something, you probably will not see it actively. You'll be trying to get God to hurry. Listen to this one. You'll try to get God and to hurry up and do what he's already finished. Amen. See? I mean, we've got to look at this. Jesus said it is finished. So then I enter into a finished work. This is the idea that God had from the very beginning. He worked on the thing that was necessary for the man for 6 days. For 5 days. Then in the sixth day, he made the man. Man came at the end of the sixth day so that he entered into that which was already completed. Yeah, well, he had to keep the garden. He didn't have to make the garden. Amen. There's a difference in going out and planting the garden, digging up all the soil, and having to just keep it. I just go and remove the weeds, the things that's not supposed to be there. I just go remove them. See? I go and to God, the man didn't even have to water. Come on, y'all. The man did not have to water the garden. God caused the mist to come up from the ground. I mean, if you would get this, the man entered into rest. And God is the God of all. He wants you to enter into that same rest, live in that same rest. He's looking for the all that he planted on the inside of you. And he does this. He says, he restores, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Listen to this, listen to that. He restores my soul, and then from a place of rest, a place of a restored soul, I now begin to walk in righteousness. Come on, look at this, what he said. He said, he restores my soul, and now, after the soul is restored, he says, now follow me. I will lead you now in the paths of righteousness. Glory to God. I mean, just look at that, please, please. When you see S's on the word, you need to remember that the S is plural. He says, because your soul is now restored, because you have taken time to rest in the Lord, the devil comes at you one way. I'm going to give you multiple ways of escape. I'm going to give you paths of righteousness. Okay, let's try it this way. I'm going to give you so much rest that as you leave, the devil don't even know which path you're on, because you have options. when the devil tries to convince you that you have no options, that all your time is running out, that you're going to be defeated, you say, excuse me, it's impossible for me to be defeated because you can't even bring the challenge in front of me because I'm not walking in a whole new path. My soul has been restored. My connection with God is so solvent that my soul is even at rest. Glory to God. And then notice what happens to the man who understands that the paths that he's now taking are righteousness, and they are going to cause God to receive glory. I don't know how he figured it anyway. My paths now, because they have been made righteous, they only bring glory to God. They only display victory unto my King. God does not get glory when you continue to fail. Why do you think he gave you the victory if he wanted to see you fail? Come on now. That doesn't line up correctly, does it? And we'll keep going and saying, I'm trying to do better. I used to tell my daughter all the time, a trier of the word is not the one that's blessed. It's the doer of the word. That's the one that's blessed. So then since my victory is already guaranteed, I begin to walk it out day by day. Because my mind has been renewed. My soul has been renewed. I don't think of failure. I think of victory. Because the Holy Ghost's job is to bring to my remembrance what Jesus has already said to me. Jesus is the one that said, come, and I'll give you rest. See? Okay, come on. Just again. I'm saying it over 12 times because I want you to get this. He didn't say, come unto me, and then you will have to fight for rest. He said, come unto me, and I'll give it to you. Amen. Okay, let's do this. Notice he didn't say that if you come unto me, and if the things are easy enough, I'll make sure you get it. He said, come on, you're looking at it right here. Yeah, come on. Ooh, glory to God. He says, I'm going to lead you in the path of righteousness for my name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He says, yea, even if I walk in a hard place, I will not fear evil. See, I mean, this is what happens. When my soul is renewed, I can hear information like, okay, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You are on paths that have been made righteous. And the paths that you are on are going to bring glory to God for his name's sake. Or if you would, things that he wants you to walk into that will protect his name. Okay? He's doing it for his name's sake. He understands that his name, if you would, is on trial. So that if his name is on trial, he will not take you to the place of defeat if that's going to cause his name to be looked at in a bad light, would he? Since his name is on trial, his reputation is here. How can we get to the place of losing if everything is being done in these paths of righteousness so that his name can be protected? The challenge is I don't know enough to allow his name to be made great in this situation. What we do is we try to make our name great. We don't want them to talk about us. See, I'm not even interested in protecting his name, am I? See? Because if I'm protecting his name, the best way to protect his name is to come lay down by those waters that are still, to walk through green pastures and to have steps that are righteous in front of me. When I do that, it don't matter about what I end up in going through, because I'm going to go through. I'm not going to be held up, stalled. I'm going to go through. There was a song that says, if you're going through hell, don't stop. If you're catching hell, don't hold it. If you're going through hell, don't stop. What we do is we think that, okay, this is it. It's all over. No, it's not over. If I'm not in the position of victory, it cannot be over. Because his word will not return to him void. I am a courier of the word of God. I am a courier of the promise of God. And his promise are always yes. His promises are always amen. His promise is never maybe. His promise is never, never. His promises are always yes, and in him, amen. All of the promises. See, he's the God of all. That's what we're trying to get you to understand. He's not the God of maybe. He's not the God of hopefully. He's the God of all. He always causes me to triumph. I just want you to see this, that even if I walk through the valley of strategy, okay, even and these steps here, let's do this, because your steps are righteous. He just said that the paths that he's leading you down are righteous, okay? So then what valley of the shadow of death, that's good, sir, that's good. What valley of the shadow of death could he be talking about here? Could not that be the memory that you have? Mm-hmm. Because it's the shadow of death. The shadow of a thing is not the thing itself, is it? It's simply the shadow. And so then you were walking in paths of defeat, and then you got to the place where you can enter into his rest. But you think about the paths of defeat that you walked in, that now is the shadow of death. See, that's the things that have already happened. And the Bible tells us that we're supposed to forget those things that are behind. We're supposed to forget the shadows. My God, my God. See? Then as I forget the shadows and leave the shadows behind, the only thing I'm now focusing on is the victory that's been given to me, the victory that's in front of me in those righteous paths. Then he says, and because I know that my memory is messing with me, I'm going to now go to the place where I can utilize the weapons that he gave me, because he says, when that happens, God is with me. And his rod and his staff comfort me. So that all of my mistakes, they are no longer the things that are in front of me, because he's already told me, he's already promised me that he that has begun a good work, he will complete it. So then everything I did up to the point where he started the work, that doesn't matter. And his rod now comforts me. His staff now prepares me to move forward. I can now fight to the point where I no longer have to deal with defeat. I can fight in victory. I'm not fighting for victory. Come on, y'all. I'm fighting in victory. You know, a few minutes ago I was thinking about some of the things. Because, see, God has invited us into the house. Jesus said, I am the door. Okay? Let me ask you a question. Is the door in the house if it's open? Generally, the door would be in the house if it's open. Is that correct? And the Bible says that I am in him. So if I'm in him and the door is in the house, I'm in the house, Anna. Glory to God. Why is that important? Because I'm not on the outside begging, if you would. I've already been brought into the promises of God. I am in the house. See? That's important because the devil tries to make me feel like an outsider. No, I am in him, and if he's the door is in the house because it's open. Amen. trying to give you some very good picture images here so that you can say, there is no way, beloved, there is no way you can lose. The fight cannot be one that ends in a draw or your defeat. Oh, my God, you need to write that down. The fight can never end up in a draw, and it can never end up in your defeat. He always gives you the triumph. He gives you the victory. He causes you to try. It can never end up in a draw, and it can never end up in your defeat. You can stop before you achieve victory because in your heart, you dealt with those shadows. You dealt with those shadows. See? Come on. This was not my text. I was trying to go somewhere else, but this is just, we have to have these as foundational truths. Notice he said that when you think right, when you understand that the soul has been restored, now he leads you in paths of righteousness to protect his name. He says, even though you keep remembering things, the shadows of where you walked, he said he will be with you in the test. Come on. Once he starts on this journey with you, he does not leave you. Yes, we forsake him, but he doesn't forsake us. He keeps giving us insight and revelation. Jesus asked the question in Matthew chapter 16 when he was talking about how he was going to allow, he asked the question, who do men say that I am? And then they said, you're one of the prophets. He said, who do you personally say that I am? And then Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, boy, Peter, you blessed because you said this. Because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, Peter, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say that you are now a strong rock. And upon this rock, notice what he said, upon this rock of revelation, I will build. That blew me away. He said, because you have this rock, now I can take you to the next level. I can expand everything in your life. I can now build on something. Notice he didn't say, now you will build, Peter. He said, now I can build. And what I build, Peter, will not be able to be stopped. See? So that's what we've got to do. See? So we've got to get to the place where we understand that. See? If we don't get that, then what happens is we continue to draw back away from his presence when he's the God of all. Okay? I mean, we really, really need to look at that. See? Because as we allow our heart to gravitate toward this, we will walk in victory every time, all of the time. He says, I will fear no evil because you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. Notice he didn't ask you to fight with your rod. He said his rod and his staff now, didn't he? See, once you understand it's all about him, then I don't need for it to be about me, do I? Amen. The battle is the Lord's. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord your God with you. See? This is what has to happen. Okay? We got to get this to the point where we walk in it all the time. It's just... when we allow God to be God, he will show himself as God. See? If we don't allow him to be God, it was said that Jesus is either Lord of all or he isn't Lord at all. See? Then he said, your rod and staff, they comfort me. I want you to look at this. God is, first of all, he's going to restore your, come on, he's going to restore your soul. God wants you to be whole. God wants you to be whole. He wants you to be complete. Nothing missing, nothing broken. He wants you to function in peace. That's what that peace means. And so that he wants you to be whole. He restores your soul. And then he says, now he's going to comfort me. Because my mind races because of me leaving God, because of me not being able to hold on to the promise of God. He says, now, if you would allow me, once you understand that I'm the one that restores your soul, gives you accurate thoughts now, he says, now, I want to comfort you. I want to show you that I'm not the God that condemns. I'm the God that completes. I'm the God that heals. Okay, all right. He's the God that delivers. Deliverance is a two-part execution. You have to be delivered from, but you also have to be delivered to. If I'm not delivered to, then I'm only half delivered, if you would. When the mail leaves the post office, it's going through the delivery system. And in order for that system to be completed, that which was sent to you has to arrive at your house. Delivery is a two-part function. So God is a deliverer. So then that means he's going to restore and then get you back to the place where you should be. The place in him that works. The place in him that causes victory. See? That's when you know him as your deliverer. Other than that, I guess you could know him as a protector. Amen. That's good. But he wants to be a deliverer. He wants you to come to the place of victory. He doesn't want you to be thinking about what you got to go through. He wants you to understand what you've been through, and now you can give praise because of what you've been through, not because of what you're going through. Come on, I'm delivered. In other words, I'm not going through that again. This is what he told the children of Israel when he delivered them. He said, the Egyptians that you see today, you will see no more forever. Glory to God. There were other challenges that they went through, but they were not because of the place he delivered them from. And then he said, now, I am the same God that delivered you from Egypt, so whatever you're going through, I'll be the God of deliverance in that situation. He's the God of all. So he says, so I want to comfort you by my word and by my spirit, rod, staff. By my word and by my spirit. Please don't try to get to the place of deliverance without both. If I take only the word and try to use the word, I will probably end up in works. Because I need the word and the spirit. Okay? That's why it's a two-edged sword. It works both on the inside and on the surroundings. Okay? So we've got to lock in and understand how God wants to do the things that he's needing to do in our life. Because a lot of us have been around situations where a unctioned word became devoid of life because we handled it in the flesh. It was just the word that had no inspiration. Okay? It's not by might. It's not by power. It has to be inspired by my spirit, saith the Lord. Okay? And there are denominations that will hold you to the letter of the law and will not allow the spirit, the breath of the spirit, to take place in the execution of that which God told you to do. And so we do everything by the law, by works, and we don't end up in victory. We generally end up in a bigger mess than we were in before. Because we try to be a God unto ourselves by our right and our strength. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, those are the ones he gave power to become sons. Okay. It says, the rod and staff, they comfort me. Why would they comfort me? God, look at this. If y'all can just see the why in these things, ask the questions of God. Why is that so, sir? And he'll tell you. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He's not mad because you ask. He wants you to ask. He wants you to rightly divide the word of truth. Why, God, are you going to comfort me? Why, God, are you restoring me? Because I'm preparing a table before you. I need for you to get the right nutrition. I'm preparing a table before you, and I'm so good to you, I'm going to prepare it in the very presence of your enemies. They're going to see, because the eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth. He wants to show himself strong. I can supply bread in the wilderness for my people. I can supply pheasant in under grass for my people. They won't be in lack. Even though you might have tried to keep them from getting to the table, I still have prepared the table if they would allow me to restore their soul, if they will allow me to be able to guide them in paths that they did not know of before. But I'll take them to the place where as you are walking along, I'm going to give you sustenance. I'm going to give you the thing that will strengthen you. Okay, glory to God. See, God is not interested in us getting to the finish line barely. He's wanted us to get to the finish line as champions. Glory to God. Standing upright, giving God praise, giving God glory. We should not get to the finish line talking about, whew. No. He prepared a table in the presence of your enemy. Why are you coming in with a, whew? You should be coming there and saying, it is banquet time. Because my God is the God of all. He's not the God of barely. Glory to God. He said, he'll prepare a table for me. Preparest is old English for continually prepare. It didn't say, I have prepared. He said, I am actively preparing. In other words, what you need right now is at the table. Not what you needed yesterday when you thought everything was going to fail and you were going to fall and on your face and people said, No. Yesterday's meal is already done. That's why his mercies are new every morning. See? Because he wants you to get exactly what's necessary for your today. God knows what you're going to be facing and it's already prepared for you at the table. Glory to God. See? But here we are. We're trying to eat from preferences. Oh, Jesus isn't good. We're trying to eat from preferences, and we don't know what we're going to face tomorrow. But if we would just have to allow our soul to be restored, then what will happen is I'll now be ready to eat that which is necessary for my tomorrow. I don't even know if you just got that. God just took the promise to take care of your tomorrow right there because he prepared us actively a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Glory to God. Your enemies, the Bible says, they will be soon cut down. But you will have your supply for your tomorrow. And they'll see, come on, while they are diminishing and decreasing in strength and ability, you will be increasing in strength and ability. Because the table that you have is an active table. Preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And now because my soul is restored, you're going to give me new thoughts. He said, when you eat, come on. When you eat from the table that's prepared, that's active, he says, now he will anoint your head with fresh oil. New revelation. Glory to God. I hope you're getting this. He says, when I can get you to understand that I am the God of all, and I'm looking for the all that I deposited from the inside of you. See? Then you'll be able to now have new, okay. Since these thoughts came from an active table, these thoughts are not dead thoughts. These are active thoughts, aren't they? Glory to God. Faith-filled thoughts. Come on, y'all. These are not faith-less thoughts, dead thoughts. These are faith-filled thoughts. They are active. They are He's going to give you these thoughts. He's going to give you these thoughts in abundance. You will not just have one thought trying to deal with one thing. You will have five thoughts for one thing. Grace is the number five. You will have multiple thoughts for one thing. You will have thoughts in abundance. Your cup will run over. You will have so much supply and activity that it doesn't matter what the devil does. I like to think of it this way. The Bible tells us that the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. All right? So then in my understanding, stealing would be equal to subtraction. Is that correct? That would be taking away. So the thief comes to subtract. Okay? But God says that grace and peace is going to be multiplied unto you. So if the devil is subtracting and God is multiplying, who do you think will win that equation? It would have to be the one that's multiplying, because I can multiply by more than what I can take away from. Subtraction is this minus that. Multiplication is this times that. Both of them can be greater than the one thing that he's trying to take from. And God's math system says, I want to increase you 1,000 times. So then the minimally, God's trying to multiply times 1,000. Glory to God. The devil's trying to take one thing. God is multiplying by 1,000. I just don't see any way for me to lose. See, when my mind is renewed, when I am being led in the path of righteousness that protects his name, when I have these thoughts, I remove questions and I start speaking from surely. Glory to God. I don't think maybe it might work. Hopefully it will. No. My conversation saying surely. Wow. Surely goodness and mercy. Goodness would cause me to win. Goodness by itself would cause me to win. It'll be good, won't it? But he said, surely goodness and mercy. Glory to God. See, when I have right thinking, then I don't feel like I'm in this thing by myself. Minimally, there will be three in the battle with me. Minimally. Goodness, mercy, and me. Minimally. But we add to it because God said he personally would be there. In this scripture right here, he said he'll be with you. Right? It says, I will fear no evil, verse 4, because thou art with me. So then, peace, it has to be there because he told me to follow peace. So in order for me to follow peace, peace has to be present. Is that correct? Because it's the God of peace that's going to bruise Satan under my heel shortly. So right there, I got five in the situation with me on my side at all times. Surely, goodness and mercy is following me. Goodness and mercy is chasing me down. He's so interested in blessing me. According to Psalm 68:19, it says that the Lord daily loads me down with benefits. Goodness and mercy is chasing me, trying to make sure that I get to the place of victory. And this happens, he said, every day of my life. All the days. So then don't tell me about a bad news Monday. Because goodness and mercy is following me all the days of my life. I can't have a failing Friday. I can't have that. A sinking Saturday. I can't have those days. Surely goodness and mercy is following me all of the days of my life. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm not just going to rejoice and go through. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Because my steps, the steps that are ordered for mean to take, they are steps of righteousness. And those steps are to be able to protect his name. Then, because of this thinking, now I want you to get it, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I'm not going to visit sometimes, leave sometimes. He said, because I think like this, because I understand this, I dwell there. I live right there. That's my permanent address. See? That's what has to be in our heart. That's the position that we need to take. So then I would ask the question, because if Jesus isn't Lord at all, because you haven't made him Lord of all, what does all look like to you? That would be the question. What does all include? What does all encompass? See, if it doesn't work on the situation that you're in, then he could not be Lord of all, could he? If it doesn't bring his power to bear right where you are, then he's not Lord of all, is he? Then I need to make him Lord of all. I need to allow him to be bigger, because that's what it says. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. See, so he's asking you to allow the great one that's on the inside of you, the one that completes you. According to Colossians 2:10, you are complete in him. See, you're not lacking in him. So with a mindset like this, you know, you go from, that's why we pray this way, you go from glory to glory. You go from faith to faith. You don't go from glory to defeat. Those are not the paths of righteousness that he's ordained for you. You don't go from glory to confusion. You go from glory to glory. From faith to faith. You move higher in him. And from the higher position that you have in him, you can see then how to expand everything that you touch. Because that's what he promised, that whatever you put your hands to, it would prosper. It would increase. So now from an elevated position, from a position where my soul has been restored, I can now know how to navigate effectively. Because when I leave the tower to execute my responsibility, I did not leave the tower in fear. I left the tower in faith, because now I go from faith to faith. From faith that heard the word to the faith that actively utilizes the word and brings victory and glory to my Father. See, I heard the word, and these are the steps that I walk in. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. I spent time with him in the place of refreshing. So that now when I start going out and executing what he told me in the secret place, it becomes easy, because his yoke is easy. His burden is illumination. There just is no way for me to be separated from that, because nothing is able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now I know that all things are working together for my good, because I love him, because I am the called according to his purpose. See, these are the thoughts that I think. This is the path that I walk in and on, because I have been preordained to walk in these righteous paths. Surely, goodness and mercy, following me. Surely. I mean, for God to give me victory in everything means I'm going to have to trust him in everything. See? My is all enough? Those are the questions. As a recipient of all, do I need to assist? If he's given me all things, do I need to assist? Since I've been given all. And if I need to assist, assist? What is my assistance? What would that look like? Jesus said, here is the word that you got to get. Believe God. Only believe. That's my assistance. That's it. When I get my heart into the place where I believe God, I will not be moved by situations, circumstances, and lies of the enemy, will I? Because I simply believe God. The Bible says that the devils believe that there is one God, and they tremble. So that if I would believe that, then the devils will know that I believe that, and they will leave me alone. Why? Because they believe God. They believe in God. The Bible says some interesting things, that if I would keep myself, says the wicked one, will not touch me. Why? Because he knows that I'm keeping myself in the love of God. How do you do that? According to verse 20, number one chapter, it says, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God. So I keep myself in the love of God. I don't have time. Well, I hadn't thought about it from this aspect. I don't have much time to be talking to the devil. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping myself in the love of God. Glory to God. How do you shut the devil up? The Bible says resist him and he'll flee. How do you shut the devil up? Don't give him time to speak. Keep yourself in the love of God by praying in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. I mean, it really can't become any more simple than that, can it? But we would rather hear conversations where we've already agreed with the enemy and we say, well, it looks like, I don't need to go to Shandarada. He will shut up. I'm not talking to him. I can scripturally ignore the devil. He that prayeth in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man but unto God. I can scripturally ignore him while building myself up on my most holy faith. And then God will be able to give me the ideas that I need, the strategies that I need to execute what he's given me the responsibility to do. I'll be then reaching with faith to get things done and stop reaching by hoping things will work out for my good. I know all things work together for my good. So I'm confident that the thing that I've committed unto him, that he's able to perform. See? I know that he is faithful, that promise, and now because I understand the promise, now that I believe the promise, now that I live by the promise, he will perform that which he has promised. He's not a man that he should lie. Not the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Shall he not make it good? Has he not spoken it? Shall he not bring it to pass? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can dare to think, according to the power that works in you. But if the power is not working in you, it cannot work for you because it doesn't work through you. Jesus is the Lord of all. And he wants to be all in all to you. But the choice is yours. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you to allow him to be all in all for every situation, circumstance that you can face, because he is faithful, that promise. Father, we just thank you. We just bless you that you have given us a word that causes us to think correctly, causes us to know that you're in it after all, that you're in everything, that you have purpose for us in whatever we are facing. And the purpose you have for us is to win, is to be victorious. So, Father, we repent if we've not allowed you to be the God of all grace, the God of our deliverance, the God of our victory. Thank you that you have turned us around by that same mercy so that we would think accurately and operate according to your word, your will, and your way, and experience victory after victory. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask and receive it as done. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, I hope that blessed you. If you have any questions or comments about today's ministry, I'm going to go ahead and allow you to do that. I'll call your number, and we'll give you an opportunity to speak. Area code 678-237, you have the mic. Area code 678-237.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
I'm always blessed. Glad to hear you.
Yes, it's actually been a while since I tuned in, and so I'm so grateful that I did tonight. God is so faithful because, you know, he knows how to minister to you, even when you haven't been in communication with others, but I have been dealing with some confidence issues and uncertainty and not knowing, you know, what my next steps were. And so I just had confirmation tonight, and I thank God for you, because you will always allow God to use you. And so thank you for the confirmation that I'm going from great to greater, from blessings to blessings, and from faith
Amen.
To faith.
Amen.
I just really appreciate it. He always knows how to get me exactly back on track where I need to be, and I'm so glad that you are a part of that. You're that vessel that helped get me there, so thank you.
Amen. It's good to know. It's good to know my destination in Christ. It's just good. He said, I will not have you to be ignorant. So he wants us to know. So I'm glad that you were able to receive, and we're encouraged by that. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Area code 470 418. You have the mic. Area code 470 418. You have the mic. Anything you'd like to say or ask? Glory to God. You are a good God. Amen. We thank you for being on the call. And again, I hope it just blessed you. We'll go on to area code 678-571. Area code 678-571. You have the mic. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I just caught it a little bit late this evening, but it was on time word. I thank God for the words of encouragement, and I ask you to continue to keep. I ask God to create and continue to create in you a clean heart and renew a right spirit, because you truly have blessed
Amen.
Us all of us that's on this line
Amen.
Tonight. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. God had to do it. Amen. 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 And just for a clarity, you can always go back and listen at any of the teachings on just go to livedeliverance.com, and you can just look under Pastor Steve, and whichever one, I'm sure God will use it to bless you. Amen. Thank you for being on the call. Area code 404-468. You have the mic. Area code 404-468. You have the mic. Amen. Any questions or comments? Area code 444-6861. You have the mic. Amen. Well, again, we would like to thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio, LiveDeliverance.com. And if the Lord puts it on your heart to be a blessing and sow a seed, we stay on the air because of the free will offerings of you, the listeners, those who join in covenant with the words that God speaks, because as you receive, you are supposed to give. I'm not talking about numbers and how much. I'm talking about obedience, because God is looking. He was happy with the widow that had the two mites because she gave out of obedience. So I just want you to know that here at LiveDeliverance.com, that we're connected to you to make sure that we all arrive at the place of victory together, because he's not coming back until we look like him. So until next week, when we get to gather again in his name, shalom.